This is the John Clayton Show.
Brought to you by Coors Light, the world's most refreshing beer.
On 710 ESPN Seattle.
866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. Joining us right now, Gary Hill. And Gary, with the broadcast. Now, first off, I'm just amazed how tough it's been with the injuries as far as... Fortunately, can you give us an update on how it went with the two surgeries yesterday?
Yeah, we got a message from Dave Sims. His went very well, so that's great news. I haven't talked to Rick yet today. I'm planning on doing that before I go to the ballpark, so I'm assuming everything went well there as well. But yeah, it has been a rough year so far for the broadcast team, that's for sure.
I mean, well, first off, I mean, were you playing in this basketball game?
I was playing in this basketball game. I came out okay. No surgeries for me.
Yeah. But obviously, it's one that's just so strange in the sense that it's like, wow, what happened?
I know. I mean, what are the chances? All it was, we were just playing a pickup basketball game on an off day, you know, having a little bit of fun. And that certainly was not the plan. I mean, there's some coaching staff there and some broadcasters. It was like 10 of us just playing some hoops, just shooting some hoops and having some fun, but yeah, it went badly for a couple of guys.
It really did, and you know, fortunately, it looks like you know everything is coming around well with Dave's with the surgery yesterday, and of course, how about Rick? You know, really fighting the doctor, trying to make this road trip.
Yeah, I know, and then and you know, he hasn't missed a road trip in over 40 years of broadcasting, but when the doctor tells you you could lose your bicep, you know, you have to listen to the doctors at that point. So I know we're all thinking about Rick here on the road. We all wish him a very speedy recovery and be great to see him back when we get home. So we're certainly wishing him the very best.
Oh, yeah, no question. And, of course, it's going to be great to get his voice back out there, same thing.
Yeah.
But everybody is like, okay, so now, of course, your day certainly becomes a lot busier.
Yeah, that's for sure. I'm juggling a few things every day, but – yeah, doing the best I can with Rick out, and Ryan Roland Smith is on this trip. So we certainly had a lot of fun last night. It was a fun broadcast, and it was a really fun game, especially with the comeback win. So I think we're off on the right foot on this road trip, that's for sure.
Yeah, and I would have to think that, you know, Texas is particularly now the chance to get some hitting going against them. You know, I think Felix did well. That had to be encouraging. Bullpen did great.
Yeah, absolutely. There was a lot to like about the game last night. I thought Felix was really good. You know, ran into some trouble in the sixth and gave up a couple of runs, but overall he was outstanding. And the key for me, and we've talked about this before, John, is the walk numbers for Felix is the real key. I mean, last night, going into the game, opponents batting like a 0-50 on his changeup. They're still having a tough time getting him square. And when he's not putting guys aboard, he can be very, very effective. He only had one walk in the two starts previous. This one, he only walked two. I thought that was a very good start. The bullpen was excellent. Vincent, he's been used a lot lately, and he was good again. Edwin Diaz, I just love watching that guy pitch right now. How do you not? I mean, he is so electric, and he put Texas away last night. And you're right about the offense. It's great not to see the Astros with their ridiculous starting rotation. So a chance for the offense to get healthy. Banged out 14 hits last night, all kinds of doubles. Haniger, the big home run as well. And a chance, to, I think, again, to have a really good series offensively against Texas.
No doubt. And, of course, I would imagine when you go, I mean, you probably, because I know you do this a lot, look historically at things. I mean, where do you kind of put the numbers of the Astros pitching staff to ones that maybe we've seen as far as some of the greats?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think they have a chance, rotation-wise, to strike out more hitters than any other rotation in baseball history. Now, I know we're early. We're a couple weeks here in April, and that assumes health along the way, which, I mean, you never know how things like that play out. But you just look at the rotation 1 through 5, you look at the quality of the 1 through 5, and just the nasty breaking stuff. I think they have a chance to strike out a ton. I mean, they're just loaded in the rotation. And again, we'll see how it plays out as we move along. But Mariners saw it firsthand. I mean, when they get rolling, and we saw Keuchel at his best in that start. We saw McCullers at his best in that start. Both those guys have struggled a little bit at times this year, but not against the Mariners. That staff is really good. The rotation in particular is really good. And it's hard, you know, going back to Mania too, who's having a nice year. That's a tough stretch for an offense when you face five really good starters in a row like that. So it was nice to see them break loose a little bit. They had some chances against Minor last night, who's another good lefty, but they broke through against a bullpen for the Rangers that had really been good. The Rangers' bullpen on their most recent road trip and the six-game trip, they only given up one earned run in 17 innings. So they've been really good as well, but the Mariners got him for five last night, which was great to see.
Mm-hmm. How do you kind of scout and look at this Ranger team?
Well, they're really banged up, and that's what hurts them the most. Their middle infield is gone. Odor's on the DL. Andrus, who was outstanding last year and off to a good start this year, he got hit in the elbow by a 96-mile-per-hour fastball. So he's on the DL for six more weeks. So that really hurts what they're trying to do. They're really young. They have some guys that have just come up that have filled out their lineup. So offensively, they have some pop in the middle. Beltre is there and healthy, of course. Gallo can take you deep at any point in the ballgame. Mazzara has been productive the last couple of years. Chu at the top. So they do have some weapons offensively. The rotation has been up and down a little bit. They're still unsettled in the back end of the bullpen. Although Kella's been good, the Mariners were the first one to get to him. He took the loss last night, giving up three runs in a tied ballgame. But they're off to a 7-14 start, certainly struggling. They have some holes in comparison to years past. I mean, it's just 2 years ago they finished off their second consecutive AL West title. Last year they fell back a little bit. I think this year when it plays out, I think they're going to fall back even further. I think the A's might leap over them in terms of standings. They might finish last in the division.
Isn't that a little surprising for this franchise? Because,
yeah,
again, they've been so good for so long.
Yeah, but, I mean, that's the way baseball can be. It can be cyclical. I mean, you look at some of the guys they had in those spots are now gone, and they've gotten older in some positions. And in baseball, that can happen fast. And it was a really nice run for Texas. I mean, they had a chance to win a World Series, but, I mean, you look at overall what they did. I mean, they were in the race year after year after year. They won a handful of division titles. What, they made the playoffs, I think, 5 years out of seven. I mean, it was a really nice stretch, including four division titles. And they're just to the point now where some guys have gotten older and now some injuries, and their pitching is not nearly as deep, and their offense, which was so potent in that stretch, just isn't quite the same. They still can be tough in that ballpark, but just not the same as they were. I mean, for a long time, they were one of the top offenses in baseball.
No question. And that's the thing. I mean, it's a hitter's park, too, which makes it tough on the pitchers. But, boy, if they're not hitting, it really puts them in a bad spot. I mean, where do things start to go wrong, do you think, with them?
Oh, that's a great question. I mean, one of it is, one of the key reasons, Adrian Beltre is still a good player, but when the Rangers were really rolling, he was one of the best players in the game. I mean, he's a Hall of Fame type of guy. He's going to be in the Hall of Fame, and he's probably going to be there as a Texas Ranger. He doesn't quite have the same impact as he did. You know, the Josh Hamilton, who was so productive in that stretch, he's no longer there. Prince Fielder was a big loss, too. Think about, you know, he was 30-plus home runs with a great batting average in that stretch. You know, he got hurt, and unfortunately, his career has come to an end. Nelson Cruz, you know, during that stretch for a long time, he was a big part of what the Rangers were doing. He left as well. Ian Kinsler was in that group. He's no longer there. Yu Darvish, of course, was there for a long time. He's not there. I mean, you just go down the list. They just don't have the same kind of personnel. They haven't been able to replace a lot of those guys offensively.
Mm-hmm. No question. So James Paxton on the mound tonight. I guess,
yeah,
other than the pitch count, things are really going well for him.
Oh, yeah. He's looked great. He's going to be on the hill. His last three starts, an ERA of just over 2.5. He's striking out everybody, you know, 24 strikeouts and 17 innings in that stretch. I look for another good start for him tonight and a chance for the Mariners to get a series win behind Paxton. Should be great.
Oh yeah, no, that would be fantastic, and again to get the momentum going back from that Astros series.
Yeah,
and so that'll be encouraging. Thoughts on the bullpen right now, because it was a little bit spotty during the Astros series, but really toward the end it did. It really came on last night.
It really did. I think it's a good bullpen. I think the loss of Phelps hurts because it takes away some of the depth, especially from the right side. Diaz right now is pitching as one of the best relievers in baseball. I mean, through nine innings pitched so far, he's fanned 18, and he's given up one hit. I mean, he is just ridiculous right now. You feel like if you get to the ninth with the lead, it's ball game. Altavilla he's been really good at times, and he's given up a couple of long balls as well, but I think he's going to be a key piece to the bullpen. Vincent has been good as well. I think they're in a good spot. You know, Bradford has kind of stepped up and pitched really well. But they still need a couple of guys to step forward as well. I think Pazos can be one of those guys from the left side. It was good to see Zupchinski get a couple of lefties out in recent games. So the bullpen's good, but I still think they have some room to grow as well.
No question. And, of course, now as we get past that Astros series, what bats did you watch last night that was really starting to swing well?
Oh, it was great to see Nelson Cruz get a couple of doubles and bang another one into the gap. I mean, he hit everything hard all over the place. And when Nelson Cruz gets back to being Nelson Cruz, this offense is going to be really potent. I mean, we're starting to see it finally come together as a group. Healy's still out, obviously. But last night was the closest we have seen to this group being together, with Mike Zunino being back in the lineup. He's still looking for his timing. But last night was a great example of what I think we'll see all season long. The top two in the lineup just causing all kinds of problems. D. Gordon gets a couple hits. Segura had three hits. They're running wild on the bases. They scored three runs combined. When those two are getting on constantly, the middle of the lineup is going to have a field day. They're going to have guys on all the time with Cano, Cruz, and Seager. It was great to see Kyle get a couple hits after struggling against the Astros. And Mitch Haniger is having nearly a carbon copy to his April last year. He has been outstanding. He's got three hits last night. His home run last night was incredibly impressive because he launched it off the bat. It seemed like it was clearly gone, but it was so windy last night. And through the teeth of the wind, still able to get it out to center field. He is in a great place right now. He's 11th in the American League in OPS coming into the game today. He is really stroking the ball. When Zunino gets his timing back, I mean, that lineup is really, really deep. And a chance to score runs. And, you know, this next five games, two against Texas, three against the White Sox, a great chance to pile up some runs.
No doubt. Gary Hill, good luck in the broadcast. Stay away from the basketball court, and we're going to be listening tonight.
Yeah, I don't think I'm going to play any hoops today. I got to stay healthy for this trip.
Good move. Gary Hill, thanks for joining us. 866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. It's the John Clayton Show, 710 ESPN Seattle.
You're listening to The John Clayton Show on 710 ESPN Seattle and 710sports.com. Now, more John Clayton.
866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. Let's go to Jet. Jet, how are you?
I'm not sure, John. How are you?
Hanging in there.
All right. We've got to take 5 days to go. This is the last call before the decision is finally made.
And it doesn't look like you're going to be happy with it.
John, I'm a Jet fan. I'm never going to be happy with it.
That's a good point, yeah.
I can't turn the clock back 60 years.
Mm-hmm.
So other than that, you know, I don't know. We're scrambling. What do you think is going to happen? What's your prognosis, Doctor?
I think it's going to be Baker Mayfield.
Yeah, I'm somewhat inclined
everything
to agree.
I think that's what I hear more than anything else.
Yeah, and I think if they're going to try to put into a serious attempt at a West Coast offense, and I think and what Jeremy Bates has come from and is used to, and from the Shanahan tree as well, I think all roads point to Baker Mayfield.
It just seems that they want the quarterback who's a little closer to coming, and they probably higher on him than they are Josh Rosen. I think they may be a little intimidated by the personality of Rosen. It just seems like they like Mayfield more.
Yeah, and what kind of concerns me a little bit, and I'm a little bit worried about this, and let me just throw an analogy at you, is just kind of how the Jets became sold on Mark Sanchez when they picked him over, like, say, Stafford, for example, in that they brought him in, and I know he kind of wooed Woody a little bit, and they kind of got sold on his personality and kind of overlooking his lack of experience and some flaws that he had in his game and everything else. They became more enamored with the person and the marketing potential in the face of the franchise nonsense and everything else, vis-a-vis his on-field abilities and potentially lack of experience at that point. And I'm just a little concerned that we may be seeing a reprise with how they're kind of becoming more enamored with Baker Mayfield, with his personality, his upbeat personality, and maybe, you know, he could eventually become a face of the franchise vis-a-vis Rosen.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just worried that they're going down that same road.
Yeah, I think that's very possible. And that's, I guess, is that, would you call that scary, or what would you call it?
I call it being a Jet fan, John.
Yeah, that's true.
I don't know, what else would you call it?
Okay,
but let me just ask you this. Let's just dial it back a second. What do you think the possibilities are of Darnold falling to 3?
None.
Do you think the Browns are going to snap him up?
Yes.
You're pretty much sold on that at this point. The whole Josh Allen thing is kind of a smokescreen, perhaps.
Nope. I just think that's exactly what they're going to do. I mean, it's like it only makes sense. I mean, he's going to check out better on more boards. Again, he's still like every quarterback in this draft. They have a flaw or two. Okay, that just you have to accept.
Yeah,
but he's
yeah.
young. He's got mobility. He's a good leader. He's 20-4. His percentage of completions is good. I mean, he checks all boxes.
Yeah. Yeah, I think he checks the most boxes out of the entire group. And he did seem to, the ownership did seem to like him when they met with him.
Mm-hmm.
What was it, when they went out there for his pro day, I think.
Right.
So, I just don't see Cleveland not taking him. I think the whole Josh Allen thing is a bit of a smokescreen.
I do, too. I never bought into it. I mean, again,
no.
I can see that John Dorsey would put Josh Allen's arm over Mayfield and Rosen. I can see that, but not over Darnold. I just don't see that.
Yeah, I mean, there are flaws with Darnold's delivery. He's got the small hands, playing in a cold environment. You know, all those could be a concerns to teams like, you know, Buffalo or the Jets or Cleveland, perhaps. But I think those are much smaller concerns, considering all the other positives he has vis-a-vis the other candidates.
Mm-hmm.
So I just don't necessarily buy it. I just don't think he's going to drop. But, boy, I tell you, you know what would be interesting if the Cleveland Browns do take Allen? What happens to that number 2 pick?
Going to be probably Barkley.
Yeah.
Barkley or Chubb.
I don't see the Giants. Well, you know, they could always be wowed by an offer, but I really don't see them getting out of that pick, because I could really see them wanting Barkley.
Right, yeah.
And that's kind of Gettleman's way, but boy, they really would have to be wowed, because you're getting pretty much the top pick in the draft, and why wouldn't you?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I just don't see it, and they desperately need a running game, and I don't know. I just don't know. Unless, of course, you know, they want to work something out with the Jets, basically getting something for nothing.
Yeah, I don't see that.
Anyway, you know, and I just don't see that necessarily.
Well, the Jets going to move up and try to get Baker Mayfield? They can get him there. That's not going to happen.
Well, hell, John, we talked about this last week, but, you know, the thing about Mayfield that kind of irks me is you don't give up that type of draft capital for a 6-foot quarterback, especially when you probably could have plucked him at 6,
mm-hmm.
or maybe just moved down to 5, perhaps.
Right.
Or maybe even 4, at that matter. But, man, you gave up an awful lot for a 6-foot quarterback.
Well, 3 seconds. That is a lot. I agree.
You know, I don't have a problem with the making the move, and I think it was a beautiful defensive move to really stick it to Buffalo, because they basically literally boxed out Buffalo.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So for that point, you know, I have absolutely no qualms with them making the move. I think it was a slice of brilliance for offensive and defensive purposes, like you just said. But what really concerns me is a 6-foot quarterback at number 3. I mean,
right.
Man, that's a tough pill to swallow.
Mm-hmm. It's going to be, but hey, if somebody would have taken Russell Wilson at the high spot, they would have got a pretty good quarterback.
Yeah, and again, you know, who knows? Maybe he's the next Joe Montana. I just hope we're proven wrong if that's what happens.
Mm-hmm. Hey, Jet, thank you for the phone call.
Okay, well, John, take care. Have a good weekend.
Okay, good luck.
Just make sure you send that Prozac because it's a long time between Thursday and Saturday, buddy.
It is indeed that way. Thank you, Jet. 866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. Let's go to Grant in Seattle. Hey, Grant.
Hey, John. Hey, talk about a tough pill to swallow. 5 minutes of Jet stock. That was a tough pill to swallow, John.
But,
hey, two questions for you. One, do you think there's any way that we get a number one for Earl Thomas if we float him out there?
I don't think so.
No way.
I don't see it.
And second question is there any way we'll use that first pick? Is there anybody out there that could drop to them that they said?
Yeah, I think there's some people. I mean, you know, defensive end, you know, like a Davenport, somebody like that. That could be intriguing. You know, maybe Geis, the LSU running back, although I think they can trade down and still be able to get him. Yeah, I'm sure there's players that are going to be appealing. It's just a matter, okay, what player do you identify that you want and where do you want to get him? I mean, that's the key, and that's where John Snyder's so good at this stuff.
And also, one more question. Kind of my dream scenario in this draft would be that Lamar Jackson drops to 18, and then a bunch of teams come at us and give us a really good offer. Do you think that might happen, or do you think he'll be gone?
No, I think he's going to be there by 18. I mean, unless Arizona takes him.
He might get crazy and offer us.
It's a long shot, but again, it's like that's the one thing that would get somebody to move would be a quarterback. I mean, that's where you get the better values. That's where, you know, if you need a quarterback, you got to go get a quarterback.
Yeah, that's kind of my dream scenario is that he's still there, and then some team gets really desperate and really wants him really bad. All right, well, thanks, John.
Hey, thank you. 866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. It's the John Clayton Show, 710 ESPN Seattle.
Now, more John Clayton on 710 ESPN Seattle and 710sports.com.
866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. Let's go to Commando Dave. David, how are you?
I'm doing great. What's up, John Clayton?
How's it going?
Great, man. Happy 421. Danny O'Neill didn't try to hit you with any secondhand green haze yesterday, did he?
He did not, no.
Yeah, good, good. And while I'm giving shout-out to guys who should be stoned for bad ties, let me give one to the newest Starbucks protesters. You're a decade late, but welcome aboard. Yes, two black men getting let out of Starbucks in handcuffs for no reason is outrageous. But where were you when the owner of Starbucks sold 12 black men and shipped them to Oklahoma City? But to be fair, he did throw in three white guys for free. Now, John Clayton, I haven't been on the John Clayton Show for weeks, and I've been in, I'll tell you why, I've been in big double trouble. I met a real estate agent who reminded me of Josina Anderson, and she had that hair going and was talking fast, and those fingernails were flickering in the light, and out of the blue she said, sign this and press hard. So in the words of Eddie Murphy Raw, I said, okay. And the next thing I know, John Clayton, I was married to the woman, and I bought a timeshare that I don't need. So, Professor, please, tell me you can recommend two solutions to my predicament, please.
I can definitely do that. There's no question. You can hear the ads all the way through. And they can take care of all those things.
All right, John Clayton, enough of the jokes. Time to get serious as a heart attack. Dale Carnegie is famous for the book that he wrote called How to Win Friends and Influence People. But I got to ask you, John Clayton, are you trying to lose friends and upset people?
In what way?
Are you trying to get your
FCC license? Me, no, I'm always trying to please people.
Revoked?
Am I trying to what?
Get your FCC license revoked.
No.
Are you trying to turn the webmaster of JohnClaytonDammit.com into the John Clayton Master Blaster?
We're just trying to please.
Then why do you keep talking about trading Earl Thomas, John Clayton, damn it?
I just try to get the realities of what could happen. I'm not, you remember, I always phrase it, it's like I'm not endorsing, I'm not saying it's the right thing to do, but I mean, you can see the ebbs and flows. I mean, it's like, you know, how crazy was it that all of a sudden Earl Thomas's portrait is no longer inside of CenturyLink? Does that mean anything? I mean,
yeah.
you know,
yeah. Look, I know, man. I'm just being having some fun with you. But with the moves they've already made, it's just hard to hear is really the point I'm making. I mean, from the time Pete Carroll and John Snyder put together a championship team, we all knew the window was, you know, slowly closing each season. And now we're just in the next phase of the Pete and John we trust. So this draft, in my opinion, John Clayton, is the second biggest draft since they've been here. Moving on right quick to the Seahawks 2018 schedule. Seahawks fans should be aware of the phony online road trip contest that has sprung up the past two seasons. I'll tell you about that later. But as far as the schedule itself, John Clayton, I think like all Hawks fans, I would prefer they open at home. So the only consolation is the season starting in Denver is watching Victor's Broncos get busted. The worst thing is the London game. Been against it, you know, since it came out. As far as I'm concerned, that game should at least be between two teams that are across the country
right.
from each other instead of, you know, right down the freeway. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because, I mean, what's one of the easiest trips is now one of the toughest trip all the way across.
Yeah, exactly. And lastly, John Clayton, congratulations on being honored last month with the John Clayton Day in your hometown. And to echo Irish Minky, welcome home to Mrs. Clayton. Safe travels to the NFL draft, John Clayton.
Okay, Commando, thank you so much. 866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. Let's go to Victor in Auburn. Hey, Victor.
Hey, John, another great show.
Well, thank you.
Hey, a couple quick ones. First off, Broncos aren't going to be busted first week of the season. I think Denver's really had an excellent offseason. But I do have a question. Why did they get rid of C.J. Anderson? I know they saved a little bit of money, as opposed to Booker.
Yeah, I don't know. That one kind of baffled me because, I mean, C.J.'s one of the great guys in this league. He was one of nine 1,000-yard runners. I mean, you know, he had a good season, but apparently it wasn't good enough. And that's, I mean, and he's only making $4.5 million.
What is the difference between numbers between him and Booker money wise? Because
you're talking about a guy in his rookie contract, so it's like it's significant. But you know, 4.5 for a running back is, you know, not overpriced, particularly for a 1,000-yard running back.
Yeah, and he had great breakaway speed, but he had top four in 20 plays or more, 20 yards or more in plays wise.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Do they trust that D'Angelo Henderson that much that they think he's going to be able to be the main back?
Well, unless they're thinking about maybe drafting one, that could be a possibility.
Yeah, I don't want him to go after Barkley.
Yeah,
like I said, I'd be perfect with him having.
Now, do you feel good about it? Because here's my rationale. I think, you know, they take Josh Allen if Josh Allen's there. If not, they don't take a quarterback. They take Chubb or whoever's still left there at five.
Yeah, that's what I've been saying from a couple weeks back from all the Bronco talk I've heard, that they want Allen. If they fall to number five, then they'll be happy with him. If not, then Chubb would be their number one pick. But I'm afraid Chubb might be gone before that. But I would be happy. I would be elated if Chubb was there at five. Mm-hmm.
No, I think that would be good for them.
Yeah, either Nelson, I mean Chubb, or the guard, or Allen. And I'm kind of scared away from the Allen pick.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And then one last thing two things. With the Denver schedule coming out, that first week, it's going to be a big game in Denver. But what I was worried about is their games against Kansas City in Kansas City. Because I think, even though I know Kansas City's fallen down some, but if they don't have that extra pass rusher,
right?
If Shane Ray doesn't get back, the mobile quarterbacks are going to kill them. Especially since they weren't that good at covering running back coming out of the backfield.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So Hunt killed them, and then anyone's going to do that. Lucky the Hawks are.
Yeah, they've
got
to get better against
the
run. They have to.
Yeah. All right, John. Hey, you take care. Have a good week, and tell the Commando that if he needs a real estate agent, Leanna Bate is the way to go. My
there
wife.
You go.
Take care, Bob.
Thank you. 866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. Let's go to Mike in Seattle. Hey, Mike.
Yes, John. How you doing, sir?
Doing well. Doing well.
First time I get a chance to talk with you real quick. I have an NFL rule change I'd like to throw out.
Okay.
And I want to throw out a quick shout out to Commando Dave. Commando Dave, this is Uncle Michael. So I'd let you, if you're still listening, I want to say, hey, John Clayton, my rule change.
I
think would add a lot of drama, excitement, and fun to the NFL on the field goal kicking game.
Uh-oh.
On occasion, John, a field goal will be kicked where the ball will strike that upright or the crossbar and bounce away. That's no good field goal. But on occasion, you'll see it also ricochet through for a good field goal, hit that upright or the crossbar and bounce over it, and good for a field goal. My rule change, designed to more excitement, more energy on something that doesn't happen very often. If that ball strikes any part of that apparatus and bounces through good, that field goal is not 3 points, it's 2 points. In order to get 3 points, that ball must transit cleanly between the upright and over the crossbar. Throw it out there. John, what do you think?
I don't know. What excitement does it create, though? That's what I'm – it's like it's almost just like a little technicality. And I'm not a big fan of taking points off a board. So.
Well, my thing is, like I say, it doesn't happen very often. But it may be in a playoff game or a Super Bowl game. That energy, that excitement of getting the reward, you get your good field goal, but if it's in pro football, if that ball must pass cleanly, I think it would add a tremendous level of excitement because it doesn't happen very often. But when it does happen, how much fun or how much excitement, disappointment, excitement would it add for the fans?
Yeah, see, because, I mean, I never bought the idea of kicking the extra point from the 15-yard line was going to bring extra excitement. And so it's, I guess, in the same vein, you know, something like that where it's just a technicality that takes away points. I don't know if it adds excitement or not. To me, it doesn't. But again, it's like you're watching the accuracy of a field goal kicker, and I'm not into it. Maybe it's me, but I don't see it.
Oh, that's why I like that. I'm throwing it out there. Cause I've been watching football since 1960. I go back to the days of Albert Golden was the opinion.
Mm-hmm.
I've always thought that. I came to me a few years ago. I think that if you think about it, because it doesn't happen very often, but I think it would add an element of excitement and energy and strategy to the game for the fans and everybody involved. So I just throw it out there.
Okay.
Let folks think, and let's give me some feedback on it.
Okay, I appreciate that. Hey, thank you. 866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. It's the John Clayton Show, 710 ESPN Seattle.
You're listening to the John Clayton Show on 710 ESPN Seattle and 710sports.com.
And our thanks to Matt Nelson for running the show and for producing the show. 866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. Hey, it's a good time right now to get a call in here because, again, what happens is that next week, I don't know if we will be taking phone calls because, again, we're going to be doing the draft lounge from out at the Seahawks and, of course, have everybody in the station pretty much involved. So this is your chance to kind of get in there, get your final thoughts here as we get ready for the draft. Of course, I'll be here all week from 10 until 12. Trying to get you ready. And again, it's going to be a fun draft. But again, give us a call, 866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. You know, Earl Thomas still remains in the news, but again, maybe a little less because of the fact that now John Snyder says that he's been told by representatives of Earl Thomas that Earl's not going to hold out into the regular season. So that at least, you know you have the player. The question is he going to be there at training camp? How's his attitude going to be? Can you give him a contract extension? Where's that going to go? Because as of right now, there is no contract extension and the talks pretty much have been very, very silent. Your thoughts on that? Thoughts on the, what's going on right now with, I guess you could say there's still interest in Colin Kaepernick. I don't think it's much. I think it's just more that, they leave the door open if he does consider it, but I don't think in the end he is going to be a Seahawk. I think it's going to be Austin Davis as the backup quarterback. Are you comfortable with that? 866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. Let's go to Rick in Twin Lakes. Hey, Rick.
Hey, good morning, John.
Good morning.
Hey, I've been listening to the station all week and listening to the other shows, and they were talking about, the Earl Thomas situation and Richard Sherman and, of course, Michael Bennett, and the guys then aren't there anymore. You know, they gave him, the third extension, third contract,
mm-hmm.
and most of them didn't come through. They got injured, got hurt or lost interest, and they were talking about the message getting stale. Well, that's fine if you're in college, but if you're a professional, you have to remain a professional, and you have to set an example for the young guys, like Jaron Reed and the new cornerback we drafted last
mm-hmm.
year, or the year before. But still, they're talking about Pete Carroll. I mean, if you're not really fully interested, you have to be mature enough to pretend like you're interested, because believe it or not, it is a job, and you're not there to be entertained. So if you know the message, you can carry it forward to the younger players, like Michael Bennett reading a book and Richard Sherman talking about Pete Carroll being Willy Wonka of the chocolate factory and, you know, stuff like that. It kind of shows disrespect to the coach.
Because
I remember where we were before Pete Carroll got here. You know, a lot of times you can't come up with different messages to tell the same story. But you have to get the gist of it overall and be a team player. And what really upset me last year was after we beat Dallas, him waltzing into the Dallas locker room saying, come get me. And I thought that was very disrespectful for the other team. Now, we drafted a bunch of players the previous year for the defensive backfield. And sometimes, you know, like you're planting a forest, you got to get rid of the old growth in order to let the young growth or the new growth get some little sunshine, get their day in the sun. And I think that's where we are now. Now, what I would do, if all possible, I would trade Earl. If we didn't get nothing but a second and a third for him, I thought that would be great. That way we could draft the players that we need, and they could, everybody, most of the team could mature pretty much at the same time, and we wouldn't be too far away from another Super Bowl run.
Of course, I mean, it takes away a great player. I mean, that's a great, great player in Earl Thomas.
Oh, it's no doubt about it. But, you know, if you want to get something for him, you can't wait till he's withering on the vine like the rest of them, like Sherman, you know, and you didn't get much from Michael B., but at least you got something.
Mm-hmm.
But if you wait till he's all used up, you're not going to get anything. If you the deal is to make another Super Bowl run with the players maturing at the same time, this is what needs to be done. And I don't think that we're going to be that bad coming. Because we actually had a pretty good defense, but we need to improve the offense to run the ball, get some big uglies on the line. And I think they made the right move by bringing in new coaches.
You like that move?
Yes, I did.
Yeah. Oh, let's put it this way. You can see that not only do they need roster changes, but now, I guess, a little bit of a culture change.
Exactly. You know, they're getting tired of the same message. But the thing that got me was Jermaine Effetti. He led the league in penalties last year, offensive
right.
penalties. And you still started the guy every week.
Mm-hmm.
Sit his butt down. Get his attention. You know? Sometimes, you know, you gotta hit that mule upside the head just to
right.
get him to act right.
Right, right.
You know, but what I'm saying is that, and Michael Bennett, I mean, yeah, he's a great player, great effort, but how many times did he jump off sides? How many times did he get in trouble with the officials? You know, sometimes he becomes more of a distraction than he is an asset, you know?
Mm-hmm,
so,
mm-hmm.
Anyway, like I said, I'm hopeful for the future. But I do think it's time for a reset. And I think that's where we are. It's a reset, not a rebuild.
I agree. Hey, thank you for the phone call.
Okay.
866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. Let's go to Chris in Arlington. Hey, Chris.
Hey, John.
Yes.
Yeah. What about Sonny Michel? Wouldn't he be just like a Kamara clone, a guy that can
break
tackles, run inside, outside, catch a few passes, and help Russell Wilson out?
No, who's this again?
Sonny Michel, the running back out of Georgia.
Okay. Down the line, yeah.
5'10", 220, he's fast, he can catch the ball, he's a Kamara clone. Why not him at 18? I mean,
too high, because nobody has him in the first round.
Carson got hurt early. I want a back that can carry the ball 20 times a game for 16 games a season, at least be capable of it, and hit a home run every once in a while.
Mm-hmm. But, I mean, you're taking somebody that's right now a second, third rounder and putting a first round pick on him. You don't. That's bad.
I've seen him in NFL Network had him going in the middle to the end of the first round.
Yeah. So why not trade down and be in a
payoff?
Why not trade down then and be, if that's the guy, trade down and get him. Don't take him at 18.
Well, oh, yeah. I mean, I wouldn't mind trading down into the 20s or even the 32 to get
right.
him. But, I mean, I'm just saying get him.
Mm-hmm.
Because he can hit a home run. He can break a tackle. And when the running backs are going down on first contact, that's not helping the offensive line either.
Right.
I mean, Carson didn't prove anything to me after watching C.J. Prosize be healthy for, what, 3 games in 2 years?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So,
okay. well,
Thomas Rawls getting hurt. I mean, we need a guy that's at least capable.
Running back has to be on the agenda. I agree.
Games.
Hey, Chris, thank you for the phone call. Let's go to John in Seattle to wrap up. Hey, John.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. How are you?
I'm good. Hey, I just wanted to know your opinion with
if they trade down, which they're going, the Seahawks, if they trade down, which they're probably going to do, how many picks can they parlay that 18th pick into if they go down and then go down again? Like,
I mean, honestly, they can probably get five or six depending on where they go. Because remember, last year they went from 26 to 35 and they netted four picks. So it's like, and now you're talking eight spots above that. So, you know, as far as net gain, they could probably get five or six if necessary. But again, what they want is quality. And so, you know, you want enough that you can try to fill, you know, the third round. Because again, when you start to trade down from 18, now you're starting to talk a little bit more third round than you are some of the other rounds. So, far as net gains, they can probably get five or six.
But I guess my question is, if they trade back and stay in the first round, and will they also get like a third round or fourth?
Oh yeah, they get a couple. I think they can get at least two third rounders out of that.
Oh wow!
Easily, yeah.
Wow.
That one would not be too hard at all. Hey, thank you for the phone call, John, and thanks everybody. And of course, next week we'll be drafting because that'll be very good. Coming up next, the Washington State spring game. That's going to be coming up here as they give you a little preview of what it looks like for this team. And of course, we'll be back next week and back on Monday. It's the John Clayton Show.